to the first Sunday roundtable of the month of March. I say beware the Isles of March. With us, none other, of course, than our roundtable guest. I don't know what Michael Steele may be on his way. He hasn't shown up so far. He is our Republican representative. He is chair of the Maryland Republican Party. And maybe, just maybe, he could not find his way to this very open forum. I don't know. But anyway, Dana Jones is here, waiting for him. Democrat, legislative research specialist, along with Nicholas Sawalk, who is chair of the Maryland Libertarian Party. Welcome.
Morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Jerry.
So you guys have had a good week, I take it?
Absolutely.
That's very good. Well, let's get started. Our telephone number 301-230-0980. Pound 980, the Verizon Wireless System, absolutely free call if you call in on Verizon. The war, as the topics we will look at today. Do you agree with Daschle's criticism of Bush's handling of the war efforts? And the latest from the war is the fact that the fighting in Afghanistan has picked up, as we read in the news earlier in this hour. And I'll read the piece again. U.S. warplanes continue to pound away at the Taliban hideouts in eastern Afghanistan. The bombings have actually shaken the ground almost 20 miles away. U.S. Army spokesman says ground fighting involving U.S. troops has also been intense. Is this a war of nations? It's a war of terrorists? Or is this George Bush's war? And I know I get in trouble asking that, but I'm putting it out on the table anyway.
I think Daschle's criticisms are valid in so much as you can rally the people with a State of the Union address. You can fire them up and say, you know, we've been attacked, we need to defend ourselves, and bring that patriotic fervor to bear. And that's all well and good. But at some point during the war effort, you have to start the hard work of hashing out what the policy is towards each country. We've got countries on the table that came out of nowhere. Georgia. And, you know, most of the people are probably thinking that's that state down south with the peaches.
No.
You have a former Soviet republic where we're just bringing troops in because we think there might be maybe people there who might have come from Afghanistan or maybe they trained there. This is getting a little bit
sporadic,
not so much out of hand, but unpredictable.
Well,
and the only person that knows what's going on is the president and the defense secretary, and the people and the Congress have had no input on this war.
And I'm going to agree and disagree with you on some parts. And Michael isn't here, so in defense of the White House going into Georgia, which again isn't Georgia as in Bob Barr and Peaches. We have been over there for a while. I mean, we are sending troops now for terrorists, but as far as action there, as far as U.S. support to that small nation, if you will, we've been there for a little bit. Now we're there looking for terrorists. So this has changed a little bit. We've been even sending, as far as foreign affairs, we've been sending people over there to help build their government and teach them this is somewhat of what democracy is. Take what you will, but let's have a peaceful resolve.
Now, support is good, but troops are a whole different level of support.
Right, but it depends where these terrorists are hiding at the same time. I mean, if we have terrorist cells all over the place, then we do have to, you know, find them. However, I am going to agree with this isn't George Bush's war. We have to follow the Constitution, and it says that Congress has to play a big part in anything that happens. They are the deciding vote. You know, yes, he is our commander-in-chief, and yes, we need to stand beside him and behind him. However, he's not the end-all and the be-all. We need the entire Congress saying this is what we're doing for our nation because they are our voices. They are the people's voices of America, and they need to help decide exactly how to go, you know, how we go about this and how it's done. It's not just free reign for the Bush White House. And I think that's what Senator Daschle was saying is, wait a minute, you have to keep us in the loop here, buddy.
It's almost like, call me crazy, but there's this neat provision in the Constitution where Congress has to declare wars.
Right, they have to vote on it.
I've heard of that provision. I think it was last used in World War II because we have presidents who seem to be pretty fond of not having an accountability to Congress. And Congress, who seems pretty fond of abdicating that responsibility to the president.
Our lines are open on First Sunday Roundtable here with Dana Jones and Nicholas Sawalk, Michael Steele, our Republican is not here, chair of the Republican, the Maryland Republican Party, so maybe some of his constituency might call in and give support to that side. It's not that we left him out, but anyway, our telephone number 301-230-0980, pound 980 in the Verizon Wireless System. Our lines are open, and let's get into it now. This is something that we should be very concerned with, because all this week we've heard in the news and the headlines how this war is escalating, or it's becoming more intense. We hear of not only Jordan, but we hear of other countries. The question of Iran, Iraq, and all of this being thrown in off the heels of Mr. Bush calling certain countries evil, using the word evil applying it to certain countries.
Axis of evil.
And then, of course, we find that now we have a shallow government operating. It's been operating since since 9/11. Mr. Bush says that this is necessary because of the problems that we're facing, and we're going back to the civil defense days of putting this shallow government in bunkers in the mountains. The guy is going to ride to the mountains in say case Washington is bombed. Huh?
And I think that it's, I'm again, for our viewers at home, probably like, is the Democrat actually there? No, I'm going to say, in the best interest of our country, a shadow government perhaps, unfortunately, is necessary. We need to be ready in case something should happen. If some of the planes went into perhaps the Capitol building and we lost a large part of our government, God forbid, we need to be ready for that. And I think that in the events afterwards and for information that we don't know, again, intelligence information, maybe this is what has to happen. Maybe this is what we need. However,
but Vice President Cheney has been in a bunker for a long, long time.
He was in a bunker before 9/11.
Right, missing in action, and then all of a sudden we popped out the word Enron from his bunkers.
Yeah, he's on Jay Leno, right.
Right. So, I mean, are we keeping a lot of information from the American public?
It seems like we might be. I find the whole concept of a shadow government just a little bit eerie, especially when the members of a shadow government are not members of the constitutional chain of succession, but instead you have career bureaucrats from each of the cabinet agencies in 90-day rotations out in the hills of West Virginia. Now, too lax about this, but I think that one of the advantages we have as a country is a federal system that's fairly decentralized, where you know, we aren't all in one place. You can't blow up one little building and the whole thing will go.
No, let's be honest.
We won't lose control.
If there's a nuclear attack, this is what the shadow government was set up for. Mm-hmm. The nuclear government is set up for a nuclear attack on D.C. Now, if we, again, this just, I shudder to think this, if that happens to D.C., we lose 80% of what we have.
Yeah, but under the isn't it true under the Eisenhower administration, at least it started under Ike, when the central government started decentralizing out of Washington, D.C.?
Absolutely.
That's the reason why we have agencies in Texas, agencies in California, even around the world, because it was shortly after World War II, into the Korean conflict, that we started decentralizing our government here in America.
That's because bunkers are not cheap.
And some bunkers are still around. I know where there's a bunker in Northwest Washington. 301-230-0980, pound 980, the Verizon Wireless System. Get in on this as we talk politics with our first Sunday roundtable, Danny Jones, along with Nicholas Sowak. I'm Jerry Phillips. And on the line, we have Shannon. Good morning, Shannon.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment about the thing about the president and Congress. Around D.C., there's three kinds of communication: telephone, telecommunication, and tele-Congress. And they're trying to keep some things, you know, on the cuff. I don't know if it's a purposeful thing with Congress of releasing information to show that they know something, but, you know, you got to look at it from both sides, that there's certain information out there you don't want released. And secondly, a lot of this talk and money that's being budgeted for the Star Wars, if a country launches a missile, we have systems that can pinpoint that launch point within a meter. But I think they need to be more concerned with man-packed nuclear weapons that could get into the country fairly easily. And that scares me more than North Korea or somebody putting a 20-year-old technology missile toward us.
Right. Right, I think that's a valid point.
In defense of the administration, and this is a rare thing, when you're doing threat...
But you're in defense of the administration?
Yes, very. In doing threat analysis, you have to take a look at all of the threats that are possible and not only take the top one on the list. For example, if the proverbial suitcase nuke is seen as the biggest danger to our country, that means we should focus on it, but... In planning a defense strategy, you want to also address other threats that may be less likely, but still fall within the realm of possibility.
And something I find interesting, if I could bring this up just for a second.
And Shannon, you can break in whenever you want to.
Something I find interesting, and we had planned on speaking about, is I do find that the Bush administration wants to rally around the flag and take credit for the good things that they've done. However, when we have problems in the Middle East... We have the White House secretary, or White House spokesperson, Ari Fleischer, coming out and blaming the Clinton administration, which, I tell you what, it's amazing how many things just link back to Clinton if it's bad. But, however, if we want to talk about eight-year expansion of economic good and more people owning small businesses, then we forget all about Clinton. And it's amazing that the White House did this past week. And it was in coordination with what Daschle said.
At the same time, the two ladies were together.
Well, there's the thing about the Middle East. That's not the Clinton administration. That could go way back
to George
when they formed it.
Right.
But, we've been pretty well one-sided over there, and there's a people over there calling out Palestinians that are basically been in limbo since 1947-48, and they have a legitimate gripe, and we, not just us, but most of the Western Europe and everything have just kind of ignored them.
Right. Shannon, thanks for your call.
I appreciate it. Thank
appreciate
you.
Your input, okay. Our telephone number 301-230-0980, pound 980 in the Verizon Wireless System. Absolutely free call on Verizon. I have lines open, and we're talking this morning on our first Sunday roundtable as we get into several issues. First, the war, which is on our issue here, our topics. We've talked a little bit about the Daschle criticism as well as the shadow government being in bunkers. Now, and also we talked about Ari Fleischer's comments blaming the former president for much of the violence and all that's in the Mideast.
All good things happened during the current administration, and all bad things happened during the previous administration.
Well, when you have
and that's always the way it works here.
When you have the control of the press conferences and the media, then, you know.
All the bad stuff was the previous administration. All the good stuff is the current one.
It's amazing, but, you know, Ari had to actually release a statement, a retraction statement,
right.
Which never usually happens. And, you know, he said it in the morning briefing. In the afternoon briefing, the reporter said, do you stand by what you said? Do you realize what you said? He said, yes, absolutely, I stand by it.
See,
and then at 3 o'clock, he sent out an email saying,
I'm sorry,
I've done something wrong. And that is classic White House press secretary. The three things that you have to follow is, don't criticize former presidents. It's always in bad form. Don't ever blame peacemakers, even if it fails. You don't ever blame Americans, especially when it's, you know, objectionable to foreign nations.
And it's
and
a dead horse.
And he did all three in one.
It's a dead horse. The man is out of office. We need to stop. I mean,
the Republicans
need to, somebody needs to get them a program and tell them who the current players are, because that guy's not on the field anymore.
It's no one in America's fault what's going on. We're only trying to help, you know, in the Middle East. It's just a ridiculous statement, but.
Okay, let's go to Pat and line one here. Pat's on a cell phone. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hi.
I just wanted to say that, you had to have been paying attention. When Clinton forced the issue, at Camp David to try to change his legacy from Monica Lewinsky to being the great peacemaker, he blew it, and then that caused the fall of that prime minister, and we got Sharon. Now, Sharon is the reason why we have this tremendous problem now.
Didn't we have an assassination or something? And, didn't we have an assassination?
That was before.
Somewhere, right?
That was before.
Right.
And then we came as close to peace as we were going to get, and we were right there on it. But Clinton had to force it because he needed to change his legacy, and that force caused the thing to blow up in our faces. And then we ended up with Sharon because the Israelis didn't see peace happening with the liberal prime minister. And now we've got Sharon, and he's just pouring gas on the fire.
Well,
okay, Pat, I have to jump in. The New York Times, March 1st, Section A, front page. Mr. Fleischer's words drew sharp response from Dennis Ross. I'm not sure if you know who Dennis Ross is, sir, but he's the negotiator for the Middle East for both Clinton and President George Bush, the father, number 41. We were not the ones who were pushing the parties. The parties were the ones who were pushing us to help them, Mr. Ross said. And a little better grounding in history would demonstrate that that is the process that it was. It wasn't Clinton trying to push these two people. And I don't understand how everything comes back to Monica Lewinsky. She was a bad point in our history. However, she was not our history. I think that there are many other things that we need to point to in the 8 years, the unprecedented 8 years that this administration was in office. But when Clinton had the same people that George Bush, the father, had in office, help guiding these Middle East talks, I dare to say we can't blame it on Clinton.
And, you know, and Arafat walked away from that tape.
Another thing is, as far as number 43, George W. Bush, who, as Salon.com, who's a critically acclaimed news website, says, the only thing that he has done so far, except for sign off on Ariel Sharon's failed hardline policies, is to blame Clinton for his tireless efforts to help bring some peace to the Middle East. So, again, I mean, this isn't getting the Republicans anywhere. I mean, they're trying to throw mud, and it truly is coming right back on their face.
Brian is on the line. Brian, I hope you can help me out here.
How would you like to help me out before I make my comment?
That's it. I want to hear your comment. That'll help me out, maybe.
Okay. Here we go. The panelists are lamenting the fact that Ari Fleischer made a comment about Clinton, and you're saying that everything doesn't come back to Clinton. But if you'll recall, when Clinton came into office, everything was in the past 12 years, in the past 12 years, in the past 12 years, speaking of Reagan and Bush, and it became sickening after a point, because just as some good things happened in the Clinton administration, many good things happened in the Reagan-Bush administration. Comment, please.
Just to clarify, Brian, my point was just that all good things that happened during an administration are the current one, and all bad things are the previous one, and that applies to all administrations. That's how Washington works.
Well, and you made the right comment. Your fellow panelist there seems to be saying that all good things happened in the Clinton administration, but nothing good happened prior to that. So, just a comment. Have a good day.
Hey, thank you very much, Brian, for your call. Let's turn to Evelyn. Good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning.
Thanks for calling.
I heard a gentleman say on the radio, and I'm sorry I didn't put his name in my memory bank, that he has been in the underground safety places with Mistway, so that he does know where it is. And furthermore, it was on page 6 in the Post, the exact location and some description of it on page 6
yesterday's Post. Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm beginning to believe that reading is a real problem in this country. Because I think Mr. Dashiell, frankly, I don't like him, you can tell.
You don't like Mr. Dashiell?
Well, I don't like anybody who slings mud, and you people talk about we're slinging mud. I have never slung any mud, and I'm a conservative.
You're a conservative?
Yes. Uh-huh. All I want are people who are willing to take care of this country properly, and I don't think the way to do it is to slam Bush all the time. That man has very little rest.
Has Mr. Bush been slammed that much?
Oh, yes, indeed he has. I think it's very sad.
Nick, has Mr. Bush been slammed that much? I mean, he's had the population poll has been, 89% in his favor? And furthermore, since 9/11, people have kind of backed off. The press certainly has backed off.
The vibrancy,
well, the press is on your side, not ours.
The vibrancy of democracy lies in debate. And we have lost the debate in this country.
Not snide remarks and untrue remarks.
Well, the debate isn't always pretty in our fair city, but it is still important that the president outline an actual strategy beyond calling some countries evil and just sending troops willy-nilly here and there.
I don't think he's doing anything willy-nilly. I think he's a smart man, and you people don't like to admit it.
We love you, Evelyn. Thank you very much for your call.
I bet you do.
All right. Thank you, Evelyn. Always love you. You bet. That's the nice thing about America. Let's turn to Penny. Penny is up in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning.
Fine. How you doing?
Oh, fine. I think they better leave George Bush's father out of this whole thing, because they did us no good for their deregulation, and we had so many people out of work. 300,000 was a one statement they made, and they never made another one. and we had the soup kitchens come up, and we had just people out of work. And I think George, the baby, is despicable and immoral and inhuman the way he's acting. And we will get them to retaliate. And George Bush, the father, he didn't get Saddam Hussein, so the kid's going to try it. Well, he won't. He'll never be successful. And you can't go after people because they say they might have these other people in Georgia that might have come from Afghanistan. Might, you can't carry on anything with a might. In this spy plane that China shot down of ours, and George Bush, George reported W, came and he said, oh, will you send it right back? Well, just like a child he is. And he, of course, China sent it home to us in pieces. And he's lied twice to us, George, the kid here. He's lied to us about A, who he said he didn't know, and everybody knows that Ray knew, and George Bush was friends, and he was friends with Saddam Hussein, and he was friends with this Bin Laden, and he had their children in schools in our country, and George arranged a plane to come pick up Bin Laden's family. He's not going to kill Bin Laden.
Okay, Penny, what part of Pennsylvania are you calling from? I don't know.
Northern part
of Pennsylvania. Okay. Comments, folks? Thank you very much, Penny, for your call.
It's all well and good to have strong words in diplomacy, and you do have strong words in diplomacy, especially for countries that are similar to our policies, like Iraq. The place where I think Daschle brought his criticism, the place I would bring my criticisms of this war, is in, you know, that immediate jump from strong criticisms of a country to sending boys off to go fight and die. I think that it's one thing to say, you know, this country has some problems, we need to change those problems. It's a far different thing when you actually have soldiers going over there in harm's way to back the strong talk of our
country. So therefore, you're saying that accountability is very, very important right now before the American public.
Absolutely. I think that we've ignored it for far too long.
Okay. This is the first Sunday Roundtable. You can participate by giving us a call at 301-230-0980, pound 980 in a Verizon wireless system. And we have Dana Jones, Democrat, legislative researcher, along with Nicholas Sawak, who is chair of the Maryland Libertarian Party. And we did not leave out the Republicans because Michael Steele is on this panel. He's the chairman of the Maryland Republican Party, but he is not here this morning for some odd reason. But anyway, let's talk to Rich. Hello, Rich.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Fine.
Enjoy the show.
I appreciate that.
I think the last caller is a little bit out in left field. I don't know what part of Pennsylvania she's from, but I don't think Mr. Bush is friendly with Mr. Bin Laden. Or
Did you notice the dynamics of both women? Evelyn, who was one side.
Night and day.
And then here we got Penny up in Pennsylvania, totally opposite. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know where she's coming from, but I'm sure Mr. Bush and the military are doing everything they possibly can to get rid of Osama bin Laden, and I'm sure it's probably trying to find a needle in a haystack. So that call just blew me away. I'm sure Mr. Steele will be there very shortly. This is the chairman from the Prince George's County Republican Central Committee, Rich Landon.
Oh, well, invited you.
Good to hear from you, Rich. Got anything else to throw onto the fire today?
Because I just woke up. It's a little too early for me. Otherwise, I would. But I think Mr. President George W. Bush is doing a fantastic job, as well as our Maryland State Party Chairman, Mr. Michael Steele.
Well, that's very nice. I mean, you know, if we want to give you advertising time for the Republican Party, that's great. But the point is, there are some questions here. And while a lot of people like George Bush, and he's got a good approval rating as to how 9/11 was handled, as well as up to about 2 weeks ago, how the so-called, quote-unquote, war on terrorism has been handled, there is some question now as to accountability. I think this is what Nicholas is saying, and
sure,
also Dana. But there is, and rightfully so, people do want to know where their sons and daughters are going to fight, why are we still shooting out all these bombs in Afghanistan.
I'd actually...
And the one question, why hasn't bin Laden been found?
I mean, I think this is very difficult. And again, this is Dana speaking from the Democratic side. I think it's very difficult. As we know, the government has asked the Bin Laden family to for samples of their blood to for DNA because they feel that in a few of these run-ins with Al-Qaeda, they think that maybe one of the people that has died has been Bin Laden, but they're not sure, and
right.
Which kind of makes me wonder.
They've got a piece of a body, and they need DNA to check.
They need DNA to check it. It is very difficult. I mean, think about it. You're searching a country, a very hostile country at that, for one person, and he's escaped us so far. I mean, and there's caves, and there's a huge backcountry that we're not used to. And so, I mean, this is going to be a very difficult fight.
I'm just really curious that when the Republicans, both from the party's perspective and from the administration's perspective, the purported defenders of our Constitution are going to actually have a declared war, are going to present their case to Congress and sort of give back this blank check that the people have so nicely given them.
Well,
Rich, in all fairness, I'm going to get your final word on this.
I was just going to get a word edgewise about is where we're going. We're fighting a war. We're not supposed to broadcast what we're doing or where we're going.
Fighting a war with who?
We're not. As far as where we're going, people want to know our next direction.
But who are we?
No, I don't think people want to know exactly what our next step is. In all due respect, I think they want to know exactly what the plan is. Not our strategy. Not okay. Tomorrow we're going to be in these hills. But what is our long term goal? What are we doing here? And we're saying blank things like we're going to get them and we're going to smoke them out. Well, I think that Congress is a little tired over the past couple months with we're going to smoke them out. Well, can you tell me what smoke them out
who
is?
Who are we declaring war on?
I mean, obviously it's terrorists. Obviously, it's Al Qaeda and those
every terrorist
enemies
everywhere.
Of our state. Enemies of our state.
Everyone, everywhere. Every single terrorist.
These are the questions.
We don't know that. These are the questions
that people are asking, and I think Rich, while I appreciate you calling up and giving us, you know, a good stand there. Certainly, I think Nicholas is asking a very good question here, and that is who, when, where, and why. Rich, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Uh huh. Pat in Alexandria. Good morning.
Good morning, dear. Wonderful show as usual.
My dear friend, how you doing?
I am doing really well, and I never thought I'd agree with the libertarian gentleman, but he's absolutely right. We do need accountability. And one little side comment. It was not George Bush 41, and I'm not really defending him, who did not go after Saddam Hussein. It was the Arab members of the coalition who didn't want to take out a fellow Arab.
Right, we couldn't get any support for that.
Exactly.
We were doing that somewhat alone. It was a very
that's right. But at this point in time, and as I said, you know, widow of a Marine and mother of a serving Marine, I'd like to know what's going on, what the general plan is, and I'm really, you know, and I really don't care what bunker Dick Cheney has been in. I just hope it has a cardiac specialist in it. But I would like to know what the long-term plan is. You cannot go on spending money. You cannot go on saying we're going to help this and we're going to help that one. Going into Georgia at Georgia's request is fine, except you're pissing off the Russians. And this is not a good idea. They may not be the superpower that they were. They've got a lot of warheads. They've got a lot of psychos.
Well, actually,
and a lot of signs to sign up with.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And the only thing that I'm saying here, and I agree, we are not in a constitutionally governed state of war. I think what we're going to be, and I hate to phrase this because I heard this 30 years ago, we're in a police action and peacekeeping, and this is getting ridiculous.
Yep. And there are a lot of people throughout, not just
thank
America.
You,
thank you, Pat. There's
take
a lot
care.
Of people in America, and again, Congress is saying, hold on, you can't do stuff without our
Which senator was it that pointed out that if we were going to try and get every enemy of America that's out there, the deadline would go past doomsday?
Bob in Fairfax. Good morning, Bob.
Yes, sir. Good morning. You have a very good show.
Thank you.
After listening to everybody talk and everything, and with many discussions going on, we talk about Democrats and Republicans and spending 40 years in government service plus a Vietnam vet for two tours over there. We all should get together as one and look at the country as a whole, what we could do for the people. And we're talking about Bin Laden and Hussein and everybody else. There are ways to take care of that. We learned in Vietnam. We learned very, very hard how things that weren't taken care of, implement what you learned from there and take care of it today.
Don't you feel, though, that all that we've learned from not only Vietnam, also Korea out of World War II, we learned a lot.
Korea and Vietnam was two different
things, but we certainly learned. It certainly advanced our supposed military intelligence. But the point is, I'm just asking, regardless how much we learn, it seems like we always fall back into the river of playing politics. And
you hit it exactly right, sir. That's what I said.
Yeah.
unite as one, not a Democrat or Republican. Analyze what you have and take it and take care of business this time so you won't have your grandchildren worrying about this 100 years down the road.
Sure. Right, right.
Thank you very much, Bob. Go ahead.
You.
Oh, you want a question?
Well, and, no, actually what I was going to say is that this just program today points out something that's going on as far as in America. We're spending so much time, we're spending so much money, we're spending so much energy on foreign affairs. We also have business here at home we must take care of.
Well, let's turn to
we
one
have
of
a
them.
Welfare program
right.
that we need to talk about. And,
right.
you know, it's so funny is that so much attention is being put on this. It's amazing. It's breathtaking. I'm
well,
speechless.
Well, since you brought it up, Dana Jones, along with Nicholas Sawalk, and our telephone number, 301-230-0980, #980. The Verizon Wireless System means that you can be along with us, too. The question is Bush's welfare plan stressing work and marriage for the nation's poor realistic? Now, I've talked with a lot of social workers on both sides of the fence, and I've talked to a lot of what do you call, quote-unquote, social technicians on both sides of the fence. And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, this comes out of the conservative bowels of the right wing, that you must tell welfare people that they have to get married. I mean, why can't that? And then there was one criticism that came out, certainly from the Brookings Institute, on if you do that, how can you expect welfare people to get married? What does this have to do with people trying to be survive?
Bribing people to marry strips them of their dignity, and it's an affront to the institution of marriage, and I'm frankly flabbergasted that the Republican Party would back something that's so callous, that so callously takes
the
this institution...
of quote-unquote family values?
That takes this institution that is central to the American family and basic puts a big carrot on it and says, hey, you want to keep your welfare check? You got to get married. That demeans what marriage is.
And let's also take a quick second to...
I mean, a lot of people like being single.
And you know what? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Some people are single with children that don't, that didn't plan it that way, that are in an abusive relationship, that someone has passed away. They are a widow. And now we're telling them that you must be married to the person who you left, your own welfare, because they beat you. I mean, but there are a million situations we can look at here.
Well,
and let me
teenage
also,
pregnancy for
teenage
one.
Pregnancy. And yes, and we must, it's funny, too, because in this policy, we say you have to go out and work, but we're not putting any more money into daycare. You know, you're going to be making minimum wage, you're going to try to do what you can for your family, but you don't have anywhere safe to put your kids, because we're not putting any money into daycare. And this isn't the only problem, you know, that we're looking at. I think we also need to look at the provisions for legal immigrants.
Well,
legal immigrants is something that we have to look at here, because... it's a profound disrespect for the realities of hardworking, low-income Latinos.
And to put a little different spin on this, this is the basic problem of a public welfare system, is that you force people to pay for things that they don't believe in. So you're forcing people who believe that you have to be married to have kids to pay for people who aren't going to be married, and you're forcing people who believe that forcing people to marry is just
wrong.
Well,
it's a big trap. I mean, if you want to force people to be on people on welfare, if you force them to be married, and you can't, and you drop out the daycare program.
Right.
How are they going to get
this,
the work?
This is the problem with
for the work thing.
This is the problem with public welfare, whereas private welfare, you know, if a church charity wants people to be married, they can put whatever restrictions they want on it.
Thing,
and if a non-church charity doesn't care.
Robert's standing by. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, good morning. Actually, you changed the topic a little bit since I've been on hold. I just wanted to make a comment.
Sure. Go ahead.
You know, what's going on with this war on terrorism, you know, I don't want to know where the Marines are going. I mean, if that's a secret, you know, I don't care where the president or the vice president is hiding out in a bunker. We shouldn't need to know that stuff. You know, I think there's too much open journalism, and, you know, if we're going to win this, we can't be, you know, publishing all that kind of information.
We agree with you. We're not arguing that point.
All I want to know is who the enemy is.
Okay, let's go to JP. Hello,
hey,
JP.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Hi, I'm JP, too. So from one JP
to
the
other. You must be a great guy.
I'm Jerry Phillips. Only great guys in JP.
Actually, the comment I wanted to make is, welfare, when it was instituted, I assume that this is something that came about back in the Roosevelt administration, correct?
And this is the same program that we've been putting Band-Aids on ever since, yes.
Okay. The one thing that I would think, if I was in that position, I would want my dignity back and be able to go out and earn a living for my family. I think that we've created a society where everyone is just, so dependent on the government to take care of them.
I'm not, you know what, I don't really think that we're doing that necessarily. I would disagree with you. However, we have to look at, you know what, if you come, let me just hit on one point. For legal immigrants, people who play by the rules, who did all their paperwork, who came to this country for a better life, and now we're telling them, okay, you have to work for a living. However, and before, we used to help, if they were poor, we used to help them with different things. The Bush administration is telling people you have to get married if you want certain things, and so they're pushing the family values. At the same time, please, if you look at this program, there is an exclusion from prenatal care, from health care for children, and other critical services for legal immigrants. I mean, that's simply outrageous. We can't with one hand say, let's push family values, and the other hand say, I'm not going to give you any prenatal care. And I don't think anybody would argue with me on that.
Yeah, and I think the work program is excellent, but the whole thing about marriage, that's a different thing, man. You know, go out and get married and you get welfare checks. But anyway, I want to thank my dear friends today. Dana Jones, I'll miss you first Sunday.
Thank you so much.
Dana Jones, Democrat, legislative researcher, along with Nicholas Sawalk. I'll miss you, dear Nick, chairman of the Maryland Libertarian Party until next month. And I hope that Michael Steele can make it next month. Otherwise, my buddy in Prince George's County better show up.
He's so much fun.
I feel so much bad that the Republicans aren't here, you know. Please corral yourselves and show up. And anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I had a lot of fun talking to you guys.